Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. How? I mean, how do we survive on a Friday night when we have pretty much nothing to lose? Wow. Here we are once again, another Friday night with nothing to lose. And, wow, it appears one of our one of our precious co-hosts is somewhere being, you know, pulled over by the police or police or whatever you want to call them. But anyhow, you know, I'm happy to bring on my other co-host, Mr. Michael DeGasinski and Mr. Walter Beck. Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hola, Senor Fouget.
Hello, Mr. Michael DeGasinski and Mr. Walter Beck. Are you there, buddy?
I'm here. And look, I just want to say, you know, for our listening audience, keep in mind, you know, I'm the cocksucker among the co-hosts, and Brian's the one who decided to play Gloria Gaynor before we aired. I would just like to point that out for the record right now.
Oh, ouch. Wow. Apparently you have some sort of something against Gloria Gaynor. But, yeah, you know what? This whole week has been shit for me, and it feels like, you know, the only thing I can do is survive. And speaking of surviving, you know, I mean, wow. The main subject for tonight is, I mean, it's some pretty heavy fucking stuff. We're talking.
Quinn getting arrested?
I don't know. That remains to be seen. And you know what?
If Quinn only gets one phone call, she better call into the show, damn it.
I swear she better. Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's funny as hell. I swear to God. I know firsthand she's a pretty crazy chick. Seems like, you know, wasn't she just at, like, a high school football game? I think she was. doing play-by-play and writing about it and stuff. Wow, you know, if she's getting pulled over by the police on a Friday night after being at a high school football game, and if she's, like, under the influence, wow. Hopefully, we will hear from her soon.
She already got my advice. I told her to plead insanity. It always works for me.
Plead insanity.
Trust me on this. All you have to do is when you get arrested, show up to court in nothing but a pair of gold lame hot pants. The judge will think you're crazy as hell and let you off.
Really? That works for you, huh?
So far, so good.
Wow, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, one of our big subjects tonight is going to be feminism, you know. Not only just feminism, but, you know, feminism and, you know, does it still exist in, you know, our, you know, in contemporary society and all that. And, you know, I think we're going to get some unique perspectives. And not only that, but, you know, when you take, you know, feminism and all that, you know, how relevant is it, you know, in a society that, you know, where traditional gender roles have kind of been, like, you know, upturned. You know, we got the acceptance of gay marriage in many states, et cetera, et cetera. And,
acceptable in all states yet. I can attest to that today.
Yeah. It's not accepted in all states, right. But, I mean, things are changing. Things are in, I mean, it's a huge flux, you know. Everything's changing and moving forward, you know. And, you know, I find some, you know, I find it kind of weird that some females still try to say they're ardent feminists, you know, in the society and all that. And what I want to know is, and hopefully we get people call in and talk about what is feminism now in contemporary society with, you know, these gender roles being, you know, flipped up on their heads, you know, you got, you know, I mean, what is feminism now? I mean, I am very aware of, you know, what feminism was, you know, back when women didn't have the right to vote or et cetera. But, you know, what does it really mean now? I mean, women seem like they have just as much rights as anyone else. And then you got the whole, you know, gay marriage, you know, and homosexuals trying to be them, you know, male, female, trying to, you know, get the exact same rights and all that. You got, I mean, the whole, it's almost like a whole new revolution in civil rights. You know what I mean? It's just, there's a lot going on in our country right now. And on top of that, all these wars we're involved with, and, you know, be them secret, covert, or overt, or whatever, you know, the shit just keeps popping up. So I'm very fascinated by all this and the dynamics of it all, you know. And you know, and feminism, I mean, really, what does it really truly mean right now? So that's some fun shit to talk about. Fun shit. Yeah. But
thank God I have a magnum of champagne and half a thistle wild turkey with me.
Well, that's a basic requirement for being on the show. And hey, speaking of which, Mr. Walter Beck, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the Rainbow Asylum, man? I know you and Mr.
Mike
Shipley got this show going on. Typically on Saturday nights, but what?
We do. Well, this Saturday night will be our last Saturday broadcast.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of which, before I get talking about the Rainbow Asylum, I'm sorry to say to our listening audience, this will be the last Friday night show I'll be sitting in on for a while with nothing to lose. My work schedule shifts next week. I'll be working on Friday nights as we get ready for peak season at Amazon. I'm getting ready to learn how to hate Christmas in a whole new way. So, yay! You know, so for all you people who order all your Christmas crap on Amazon, go to hell!
Yeah, avoid Amazon for the most part. But good luck with that. So anyhow, yeah, man. Yeah, just tell us
anyway,
about
so
Rainbow Asylum.
Well,
what's going on with that, man?
The Rainbow Asylum started out, it's kind of funny how it started out. If you all remember, a few weeks ago, I was a little late calling into this show because I was a guest on Mike's show.
Yeah.
You know, because he does a political show on Friday nights, and he had me on as a guest. You know, as me and him had both been in the movement, you know, about the same time, about 2 years, you know. So we spent an hour swapping stories from the streets, and then Phoenix called in. We spent the last hour swapping dirty jokes. It was great. And I told Mike, you know, like, dude, we, you know, we had so much fun doing this. Why don't we start our own show? And he was like, yeah, I suppose we could. I said, come on, man, it'll be fun. Because, you know, he does 3 shows a week. On Thursday and Fridays, he does, you know, he does his serious political shows. You know, he does his libertarian radio shows. And I said, dude, you know, you need a show where you just relax, cut loose, and fuck around. So we came up with the idea of the Rainbow Asylum. You know, I'm the sound master. I'm the one who usually picks the records, although Mike's got a couple of interesting songs he's going to be playing tomorrow night. He actually dug up a disco song. Well, one of our listeners actually dug up a disco song from the 70s that's gayer than the Village People. And he was like, you guys are the Rainbow Asylum, you know, you're the most outrageous, you know, queer show on Blog Talk Radio right now. You guys have to play this on the air.
Right.
I was just like, yeah, why the fuck not? So we got that, and then Mike's got another weird song. It's a it's done by this drag performer, and it's kind of a manipulated version, I guess, of Eric Clapton's Cocaine, so... Mike's got a couple of weird numbers he's going to be playing tomorrow, and of course I got some songs of my own that I'll be playing. So you know, like I said, I normally handle the music. Mike handles the sound clips. You know, he came up with a lot of the bits we do. You know, we do Slut of the Week every week.
Slut of the Week is one of my personal favorites. Just yeah,
I love doing Slut of the Week, and I'm going to give your listeners a special. Inside hint, I guess. Our Slut of the Week this week is going to be a favorite slut of mine. We're going to be ripping apart Michelle Bachmann. I'm looking forward to this.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember who said it. I can't remember the comedian who said it, but, you know, it was during the primaries last year. And he said, you know, I really hope Michelle Bachmann gets elected just because I think her husband, Marcus, would make a fabulous first lady. Oh, come
wow.
on. She's married to the biggest closet case who's not the televangelist.
You know, could you imagine Jimmy and Tammy Faye Baker being, you know, the president and, you know, the first lady? Wow. You know, that would have been beautiful. Are you old enough to remember Jimmy and Tammy Faye Baker from the PTL Club?
I am, but that's only because I have a sick psychotic obsession with the religious churches in America.
Apparently you do. And you know what? I have oh, okay. I'm just going to have to say this right now. As far as music selections for your show for tomorrow night, you know, for the Rainbow Asylum. Okay. This might make me sound like a dick, but
we
how
are
about
not playing Pup the Magic Dragon.
No, not Pup the Magic Dragon. Fuck that. No. Listen up. How about It's Raining Men? It's Raining Men. Are you familiar with that song?
I know the song.
Personal request, man. If I know that song's gonna be on there, man, I'm there. I am there.
And you, I'd be shocked if you haven't done that at Murray's for karaoke, Brian.
You know what?
Now, I just might.
Yeah,
Brian. You know, you do realize. I mean, I'm just pointing out between the Gloria Gaynor and then the request of It's Raining Men. You do realize that today was National Coming Out Day. Do you have a confession you would like to make to Mike and I?
And our
listening audience?
Confession? What kind of confession? I was like trapped in my closet. And, you know, I used my big old meaty man, like, shoulder and busted out of my closet. Yeah, it's Raining Men. Oh, fuck you fuckers. All right. We're moving forward here.
I figured you were more like Ed Wood, Brian. You like to wear the women's clothing, but still like women.
I like to wear the women's clothes. You know, you might be right. You might be right. No.
You know, I'm going to say, you know, you're not Ed Wood until you do a parachute jump wearing a brassiere and panties. Then you're Ed Wood.
Ed Wood to me.
But
Ed Wood.
Brian,
and I'm not
would
like
wear the diaper, though.
Ed Wood was, you know, very, very groundbreaking filmmaker, in my opinion. You know, he went out of his way. He did what he wanted to do, you know, and it was beautiful. He was fucking beautiful, honestly. Oh, gosh. Let's see here. All right.
But should I get back to talking about the show, then?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Tomorrow, like I said, you know, if any of our listening audience here on Nothing to Lose wants to tune into the Rainbow Asylum, you can find us on Facebook. We broadcast live at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Please tune in and call in. We're always accepting callers, mainly because we haven't gotten any. Well, except for Brian, who tried to prank call us one time in a really bad way. I'm sorry, dude. You know, most pathetic prank phone call I've ever received in my life. Jesus Christ. Holly Shore writes better comedy than that.
Well, boo. Just chalk it up as Brian W. Dolt Fugier is an asshole. But he does respect the Rainbow Asylum. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I'm glad you're on here, and I'm glad you are promoting it. And you know, we have much more fun stuff to go on here tonight.
Earlier when we were talking online, you wanted me to talk about the demonstration I was at.
Oh yes. Quickly, tell us about this demonstration you were at today, man. Walter Beck. Yeah, please do. Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on a sec. Where the hell are my cigarettes? God damn it.
Goddamn smokers, goddamn nicotine addicts are worse than fucking crack addicts. Come on now. Yeah, come on. Yeah, tell us all about this.
You're right, I am, because currently I have four or five different packs laying around. I have to pick them.
Yeah, and Wild Turkey?
Yeah, Wild Turkey 101 bourbon and Magnum of Cook's Brut Champagne.
Nice.
Anyway, so yeah, this demonstration, this was kind of funny. I actually wasn't planning on being there, but about a week ago, I got a call from my buddy Todd. You know, he's an old friend of mine, Terre Haute. And he was like, listen, man, I'm speaking at this rally against HJR-6, which is House Joint Resolution 6 here in the state of Indiana. If it passes the, state house and it passes the popular vote, if it goes that far, it would enshrine bigotry into our state constitution. You know, even though we already have a state law barring, you know, marriage equality, apparently our dickhead governor wants to put marriage equality on double secret probation and assign it to a constitutional amendment. Prick. You know, so Todd asked me if I wanted to speak at this rally, and I said, well, you know, let me make sure I got the day off work. And, you know, it turns out I did. You know, like I say, with the schedule shift, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And went out there to do the rally. It was out in Terre Haute. Not a bad turnout as far as rallies go. But I'll tell you, the funny part, you're going to love this. Todd actually ended up not speaking. He was just there to play guitar, which is cool. He's not a bad musician. So we ended up only having two scheduled speakers. You had me, and then you had this other guy. And this other guy is a big wig with Indiana Equality Action. You know, he's, I guess, a professional activist, for lack of a better word. And, you know, he shows up, you know, he's got on, you know, a suit and tie, you know, he looks professional. Me, I'm, you know, you can see the pictures online. I'm out there, you know, in my black beret, and, you know, got on my John Lennon Revolution shirt and a pride flag tied around. I mean, you know, I look ready to kick some fucking ass. You know, and it's, you know, this dude gets up there. He spoke before I did. He only spoke for what the hell? Hello?
It's all right, man. Keep going. Keep telling your story. I don't know what that was. That sounds scary. All right.
Anyway, so like I said, you know, this dude's only up there for a couple minutes. You know, he was passionate about it. You know, it was very, very restrained. You know, he spoke like a professional. Me, I got up there and burned him to the ground in about 30 seconds. I mean, yeah, I just got up there and started barking fire, you know. I mean, I personally didn't think it was the best speech I've ever done at a rally, but
yeah.
After I got off stage and everybody came up to me and they were like, man, that was fucking good, man. Really? You think so? Well, hey, I appreciate that. But it was funny, you know, because, you know, I go up to this guy after I'm done speaking, you know, just talk to him, you know, see if there's anything I can do to help. And, you know, he's muttering and kind of shying away from me. And, I mean, I could tell I totally upstaged the guy. Like, wow, the hellfire, you know, independent activist just totally smoked your professional ass, didn't he? Now, I'll tell you, the funniest thing about the rally, and, you know, I know you guys get a kick out of this. After I got done speaking, you know, there was another event going on, you know, oh, what the hell are they called? They're not called Advocates for Equality. Whatever the hell the name of the official LGBT group is on campus. Anyway, you know, they were doing their coming out day thing today. You know, our rally was kind of tagged in with them so that, you know, we could get the space without getting hassled by the university pigs. And it was funny, you know, after I gave my speech, you know, some of these students came up and they were like, I think we know you from somewhere, man. And I'm thinking, well, I don't come to Terre Haute very often anymore. Where the hell do you all know me from? And they were like, do you do Rocky Horror in Indianapolis?
Really?
Like, I have people who recognize me for performing in front of a dirty, run-down theater in nothing but a pair of gold lamé hot pants.
Right.
It's official. God is mocking me. But we had a great time. I was actually on assignment with Polari to cover the event, so got home and burned out a 1,000-word article in about an hour, and fucking it should be up next week.
Wow. Well, that's sweet. Good Lord.
You can read the epic tale.
The epic tales, see, you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, well I mean, wow, I mean, hold on a second. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think Dr. Quinn may not have, she might have just got a citation, but she is not, has not been arrested or is in jail. I think she's here with us real quick here. Now, hey, Dr. Quinn, you there?
Okay, first of all, no, it's raining men is not cliche at all. Walter has never heard that ever. Not ever in his whole entire gay life. It's raining men. Brian!
Okay.
So anyway, no, I didn't. You know why I got pulled over? Trying to talk to you motherfuckers on my phone while I'm driving and the cops saw me and I got pulled over. That's what happened.
That'll learn you. Drive. That'll learn you, Dr. Quinn. We were all worried about you.
I don't doubt it. Yeah, I'm sure you were very worried.
Dr. Quinn, you know, I can't speak for Brian and Mike, but I can assure you that I was about 2 seconds away from taking up a collection to send you part of your cigarettes to make sure you had plenty of currency, you know, in the slam.
Well, God knows, see, at least one of you assholes looks out for me, see? Yeah, the rest of you don't.
Oh, shit. I think Mr. Gasinski and I were, like, going to get you some special flip-flops again.
Yeah, give me my own flip-flops, please. Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, you have a skin disease, you know.
Yes, skin disease.
Or condition,
yeah.
Condition, skin condition.
Condition.
We don't want to call it
condition. That. Yeah, that's the PC.
Which lube takes care of. By IR, so.
Yes, the lube.
Yes.
The lube.
Do you still have the lube in your purse, Dr. Quinn?
I still have the lube in my purse for my skin condition.
Wow. You know what, guys? Now that we finally have all of us, all four of us together, you know, hold on, just give me a second, all of you, we got to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, God damn it! I mean, if we're not patriotic, if we can't do the Pledge of Allegiance, here we go. All right, let's all remove our hats and our kepis and Civil War reenactment hats and you know, baseball caps. And Dr. Quinn, since she is not in jail and incarcerated, maybe she can remove, you know, her hairpiece, because I know she has one. I've hung out with her enough to know she has a hairpiece. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's move forward just really quickly. Here we go.
Wait, which hairpiece?
No, waiting. Your pubic hairpiece.
Okay, I'm
open. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, God damn. We are a patriotic bunch, aren't we? We do,
you know,
believe,
Brian,
in this. We do believe in this country, right?
You know, Brian, you know, every time I'm on the show and I hear the Pledge of Allegiance, I mean, it just makes me feel so patriotic that I just want to go out and, you know, masturbate down the barrel of a 44 Magnum.
Yeah, no. You know, that surprised me that the Pledge of Allegiance makes you feel like you want to masturbate, because, you know, it's usually pornographic images that makes me want to. But anyhow, to each his own. But yeah. I get it, man. So yeah, here we are. Here we are, all of us together. Wow. Yeah. And good old Dr. Quinn did not get arrested, as we all had suspected. Great news. That's great news.
You know, I will say this. You know, Dr. Quinn, at least you have a medical excuse for your lube. Me, I'm just a fucking pervert.
Yeah, it's a medical excuse why I carry lube around in my purse. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll, yeah.
What, I wasn't convincing enough for you?
Huh?
I said, what, I wasn't convincing enough for you?
Sometimes it's hard to understand people who have been pulled over by the police.
Police.
The police.
I said I wasn't convincing enough for you.
Convincing
in my
part. As far as what?
You know.
As far as my with the medical
your
excuse.
Your quote-unquote
while...
medical condition?
Yes.
You know, Quinn, in all seriousness, you know, I like you, but, you know, I'm a journalist. I'm kind of a cynical son of a bitch by nature. It's in the job.
Wow. I think we're all a little cynical. I think it's sort of the... It's the norm to be cynical at this point, in so many ways.
You know what? You know, in all seriousness, Quinn. You know what? I'll tell you what. I will believe that you have a medical condition that requires you to use lube when I find a non-alcoholic beer that doesn't taste like piss.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so
non-alcoholic.
Huh?
I was questioning Mr. Walter Beck's non-alcoholic. I mean, all beer tastes like piss to me. But non-alcoholic, you know, I drink, you know, apple juice and orange juice and, you know, fucking Gatorade. It doesn't taste like piss. But beer does.
I used to work in a liquor store, and all the non-alcoholics that wanted beer that tasted like, or fake beer that tasted like beer, was called a Klaus Holler, that's what it was called. And they said it tasted like real beer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, what's the fucking point, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to know, can you pronounce it without sounding like you have a mouthful of spunk?
I don't know, can you?
Pronounce what?
The name of this fucking beer.
What is it?
Klaus Holler.
What?
I don't think I can do it, but it sounds like
he
has a mouthful of spunk.
I always have a mouthful of something. Okay.
Does your wife know about that?
You better believe she does. All right. All right. Give it to me one more time and see if I can do it.
Klaus Holler.
Klaus? Okay.
Holler.
Klaus Holler.
There you go.
There you go. Sound like I had a mouthful of something? Spunk?
Something.
Bunk? Oh, shoot. All right, you know, oh, my Lord. We have, we've gone on and on about booze and getting arrested and all that. But you know what? Ultimately tonight we're gonna debate feminism and feminism and gay marriage and all that, and you know what kind of influence it has or has not had on our society, you know. And we have another caller on whom I do think is Julie Larson. And Julie Larson, you are coming on, and you know what? Welcome. Welcome, Julie. Here she comes. Julie?
Hello. Hi, Brian. Very sexy.
Hello,
Dr.
Julie.
Quinn. I have to say, I was waiting for a message from the doc to, for me to come and bail her out. Luckily, I don't have to go out in the cold tonight.
It's a balmy 56 degrees. What are you talking about?
Well, it's cold out there. I'm in my pajamas. Did they search you?
You guys do not
want
to know what I'm wearing right now.
Glad I didn't, you know, take you out of your comfort.
I would have come out for you.
Thank you. See? Unlike these a-holes who are planning to get me flip-flops.
I was just hoping, Quinn, if you got one phone call, you would call into the show. You would at least
somebody come save me. 5 minutes to talk to you, a-holes. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, me too. It's like, okay, if she gets arrested, you know what? The one place she has to call is the show. I'm
yeah.
Like, hey guys, I got arrested. You know, I can't really be on for too long, but yeah, you know, maybe some of you guys can give me some bail money, huh? Wouldn't surprise me with Dr. Quinn, but
well, see, you know, in all seriousness, you know, if she had been arrested and she had to use the one phone call to call the show, it would have been perfect for us because you know, then we could have started the first annual Dr. Quinn radio telethon.
Bingo.
Yeah. Ding 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 ding. Yep. Dr. Quinn. Yep. All right. Well, Julie. Great to hear from you and glad you are here. And you know, wow. Yeah, we have pretty much gone nowhere yet with our main subject here tonight. But you know
some white guys talking about feminist issues. That's great.
Whoa.
Let's see where this goes.
Ow. White guys talking about feminist issues. Ouch. Okay, that just, you know, that felt like a little more than like a mosquito bite.
Oh, it's
you know,
just a little
a bee sting. Wow. Or maybe someone like, you know, poking a fucking chapstick right into my goddamn eye. But yeah, wow. Welcome, Julie, and thanks for coming in here. You know, this show is supposed to be sort of a roundtable session, you know, talking about, you know, feminism, you know, in contemporary society and, you know, and you know, the whole gay marriage and all that, you know, and it just how it just everything has been kind of like changed and blurred, you know, to a certain degree. And, it really has. As far as, like, you know, male, female, you know, and homosexual or whatnot, you know, let's get down to, brass tacks here and let's start, like, really talking about some serious shit. And not fair to Julie. Julie needs to, like, if she wants to just, you know, cut loose with some funny shit. We need to get, you know, let her get that shit out first before we start getting too serious.
No, I don't have the giggles tonight.
Come on, giggles. Giggles are great. All right,
see,
there you go.
Let's
get the giggles out and get the giggles out. Get the giggles out. Julie, come on. Just get it all out. Anything funny or positive? Oh, okay, the funny positive things out for you today that happened to you today or within this week. Just Julie, come on, just get it out really quick before we get too serious.
I'm already there, man.
You're already there, huh?
There's nothing
okay,
funny
Julie.
In my life.
What? Okay, I gotta ask, Julie. What have you been drinking tonight?
I have been drinking nothing but coffee.
Oh,
trying
okay.
to stay awake. I had a pumpkin coffee.
Pumpkin coffee? Oh, wow.
Yes, it was delicious. It was from our little local cafe over here.
What's it called again? I'm sorry.
Yes, I was at the Grindhouse tonight with our Miss Serena.
With Serena. Oh, my goodness. Wow, okay,
yes.
Sweet.
Wait, Brian doesn't know who that is.
I don't know who what is.
You don't know who Serena is.
Serena.
Oh, Serena, Siren B, whatever.
Serena.
Yeah, I do. No, I mean the Grindhouse.
Siriana.
Okay, Siren. Okay, yeah, okay. I can't pronounce her name right. I just call her Siren B. Okay, fuck me.
Emma.
That's not the point, though.
Okay.
The point is, yeah, so you've been hanging out and everything, and you're feeling good and positive, so you're ready to move forward here with this kind of
serious
kinda
conversation.
Yeah, you're ready to move forward with this hefty subject
matter.
Just
out of curiosity, am I the only person on the air right now who has an actual drink in their hand?
Oh, no, fuck, no.
No,
I've already been hitting the poetry grenades,
yeah,
buddy.
You know better now, Monty Beck. I was going to say, man, thank God.
I had too much wine last night. I was with Mr. Tim Murray last night also. I had wine, and he had Pepsi.
I can.
We got to have fun.
He
did. We missed you last night, Michelle.
Yeah, well, I was slinging tacos.
Slinging tacos. And you, yeah, Dr. Quinn, yeah. Rumor has it you're great at slinging tacos.
Okay, I'm sorry, you know, for Christ's sake, between the earlier conversation about her lube and now hearing about her slinging tacos, sweet evil Jesus.
Yeah, that, yeah. Dr. Quinn, she's quite the character. hard to care, you know, kind of, you know, categorize her.
Don't put her in a box.
Put her in a box.
Yeah.
Oh, what about her box?
But
now that's
yeah.
feminism right there.
Oh, see, here we go. We are ready. You know, I think we are all. I think we're all perfectly lubed, be it metaphorically, be it alcoholically,
be it medically.
Yeah, I think we all are there. And you know what? Feminism and, you know, gay marriage and everything, I think this is, yeah, very much a significant issue. And here we go. We're gonna move forward, and we're gonna do this. We're gonna tackle this. You know?
You've been saying that for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, here we go.
Because you keep stalling, Brian.
all right, you know what? God
right,
damn it.
The sergeant. Man, you know, Brian, you know, I honestly, at this point, I got to say, you know, you are just as good at starting a serious discussion as you are releasing a magazine.
Boo.
Hey, somebody had to say it.
Oh, boy. Ouch. Wow. Yeah. My left nipple just went from being extremely erect to completely flaccid. So, yeah. Okay, no, seriously. Feminism. Right? Okay. Does it... Okay. Yeah, oh, boy. And Dr. Quinn... starts her cackle.
He's ready for us to lash out. He's afraid to say something that we're just going to rip his head off about.
Oh, my head? No,
yeah.
No. This is nothing personal.
Yeah? Okay.
I mean, my head, no.
Us women will get all irate about, right?
Well.
So, what specific issue of feminism are we wanting to discuss? I mean, that's a pretty broad topic.
Well, okay. Well, you know, I mean, does it really – I mean, okay, feminism. I hear a lot of – you know, and I see – not I hear, but I also see a lot of women online, and I'll let – you know, trying to say, oh, you know, I'm a feminist, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then, you know, they're – and then you see their actions not really truly represent – what they are trying to say. I mean, what truly is feminism? I think, you know, what is truly, okay, here we go. Feminism in our country, the United States of America, or whatever you want to call it at this point. I mean, is it really truly, does it really even exist anymore? I mean, I don't see that it does.
Of course.
I don't see that it does. At all, you know, and if so, I mean, how and why? I mean, it just seems like women are so much, to me personally, it seems like women are very much the equals of men and whatever other race, gender, or whatnot. I mean, how? I mean,
it's beautiful that you think that way, but society doesn't really think that way.
Okay.
I mean, feminism adapts with our society. So women now, they want to be in control of their lives. They want equality, but they also want to enjoy other things. It's not as rigid as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's still the rape culture. There's still not full equality for women, even though some men see it that way because in their minds, women are equal. But there's a whole slew of men out there who don't feel that way.
Right.
They still objectify women.
Can I just ask a quick question here? What exactly do you define as rape culture, just out of curiosity?
Oh, well,
rape culture?
Television, movies, movies. It's all over the place. I mean, there's rape scenes, and they're making money off of that shit. It's disgusting.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, by that definition, are you saying that a movie can never be artistically justified in having a rape scene of any kind?
What is the benefit?
Specifically, personally, I don't know. I don't write movies. I'm not a screenwriter.
Well,
I'm not a director.
Certainly,
in films, in certain movies, you know, for example, Psycho, you know, it opens with a murder scene. You know, that murder scene, while it may be a horrific crime, is considered central to the plot. You know,
I think that rape now, I was talking to somebody, actually Bob and Pinacchia, we were talking about Coven, you know, American Horror Story.
Yeah.
And
I mentioned it to you earlier, too.
Huh?
It to you earlier, too, about Coven. Go ahead.
Right. Well, they were, you know, so far, each season has had a rape scene, at least one. You know, whether it be metaphorical or an actual rape like there was in the first episode of Coven, which we will get to later because that's going to be fucking brilliant. But anyway, I think rape now has become, it's ubiquitous now. And I think it kind of takes all the, you know, the horror out of it. You know, when everybody's, there's too much of it. I think, you know, don't even get me started as rape as a metaphor in poetry because everybody, you know, rape is rape, period. You know, when you try to tell, you know, oh, this is like rape, or no, it's not. Rape is rape. Fuck you. And I get passionate and probably not very coherent. So Julie, please,
please
rein me in. No,
trust me, you're fine. I've been yelled at before. It's fine.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm yelling not at you. I'm yelling toward you. In a passionate manner, not chastising, but I think that I think now, you know, it's used so much as to almost be, you know, be blasé. It's not horrible anymore, almost.
Right. Because I watched Coven also, and I was just like, what the hell? Because it just took the seriousness away from it for me.
Right. Well, I don't think they needed to throw. I mean, we could debate whether the rape even needed to happen.
Right.
You know, in the first episode, it's like, really, really.
Right.
This is so freaking contrived.
Right.
And I think that when that is the reaction.
I'm sorry. Could we back up just a second? I think I'm lost here. What exactly is Coven? I guess I've never seen it.
I'm sorry. Are you watching the new installment of American Horror Story?
No, not currently.
No, you know what? I have to intervene here. What does that show have to do with feminism? Honestly, is this some sort of like pop culture like reference? I mean, what? Okay, you know, some people, I've never seen, I saw the first season of the show, and have not seen any since. I have not seen the second or third season, and, I don't know how this has to do with feminism,
I
don't know.
In the media.
There was a gang rape scene in the show, Brian. That's how it has to do with it.
Okay,
rape.
I keep in mind that these past two seasons, maybe not so much in the first one, but these past two have been very, the second season, which I absolutely hated, was a very woman-centric chapter. This one is almost all completely women.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the argument can be made that it's very feminist because, well, it's going to be basically a bunch of badass women.
Okay.
So why they, you know, why, sure, rape, I think they, you know, you can go and speak that rape is, you know, a woman's, you know, if it's not a woman's number one fear, you know, it's pretty high up on the list.
Okay,
you know,
for
so
you
I
personally or for every woman? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a woman. But, you know, I think.
As far as we know.
well, okay, here, let me reverse the question. Can men be raped?
Okay.
Can men be raped?
Absolutely.
By males or females? Here we go.
Absolutely. Yep, you can.
Certainly
by women. I mean, is that possible for a man to be raped by a woman?
Absolutely.
And would it ever, like, hold any kind of, you know, shit in, you know, in court? If they tried to say, like, I was raped. Would it?
It should.
What do you think?
That's an interesting point. It should. But I
it
don't
should,
think
okay.
that.
But.
I think more and more it is.
Yeah. As more
because
men.
For men, that's a real taboo for men.
Well,
it is taboo, men don't want to admit. Yeah.
Right.
Case in point, this week when Chris Brown admitted that he had sex at 8 years old, he had sex with a 14-year-old girl, that's rape.
Yes, by legal definition, that would definitely be statutory.
Yep.
Well, I'm not talking about statutory rape. I'm talking about, an adult female, you know, violating a male somehow.
Yes. There's cases out there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, Why is that never in the media? Why? I mean, just...
Okay, if you were assaulted by a woman, would you admit it? If you were assaulted by a man, would you admit it?
See, it's a double standard, you know? I mean,
no.
Would I admit it? Well, you know, if I actually was, I seriously was violated in one way or another, sure as hell I fucking would. You know, it, of course, it's never happened to me. And, you know, but at the same time.
You wish it would.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding. See, and that's the stereotype. There we go. That is the stereotype. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, a guy gets violated by a woman, they love it. You know? Oh, whatever.
Or they're not,
you know?
Going to admit
so, that a guy would never, ever be able to, you know, defend himself in a court of law regarding rape by a woman. I mean, it would never happen. And people would laugh at him. Or you know,
well,
it's
that's
silly.
The thing. He could certainly try, but no one is going to put. It's the same but different, you know, because women, when we go ahead and we try to, you know, have our rapists prosecuted, we're dragged out. Okay, what were we wearing? What were we doing? At what age did we lose our virginity? You know, do we
right.
have naked pictures up? So that's the woman side of it. The man side, if he says that he gets raped by a woman, well, what the fuck? You're a pussy. Are you sure, you know, that
right.
the woman...
Thank you.
So,
I'm glad you said it.
Absolutely. I mean...
Well, right. You know, at the same time, Mr. Beck, I mean, given your sexual orientation and all that, I mean... Man, if you were, you know, violated by another man, I mean, how would you feel? I mean, how would you react? I mean, would you report it to the authorities, or I mean, how? I mean, honestly.
Well, you know, and I think this is a fundamental question on both sides.
Uh-huh.
You know, as,
right? Right.
I'm sorry. As our guest co-host, I'm sorry, I forgot your name off the top of my head.
Yumi.
Oh, Julie.
Thank you, I'm sorry. You know, as she pointed out earlier, rape is rape, and whether it's a
right.
man or a woman, I think mm-hmm. the fundamental issue that people have in reporting it is that you're admitting to a violation of your own body.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that is the key difficulty in prosecuting rape cases that a lot of people frankly overlook.
Oh, good point. Good point. Very,
you know.
Yeah. Wow. Well put.
So, you know, would I admit to it? You know, would I turn the person in? You know, I would like to be able to sit here and say, yes, I would. And he would be
uh-huh.
brought to justice. And my friends would find out where he lives and, you know, drill holes in his kneecaps. But, you know, but in all seriousness, I don't know. I mean, you know, one of the strongest motivators in a society, and
mm-hmm.
this absolutely relates to discussion not only with rape but with feminism in general, and I,
uh-huh.
even to an extent LGBT rights, one of the
right.
biggest drives in any society is shame.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's easy to say, yes, you know, if that happened to me, I would report it. But if you're really in that situation,
mm-hmm.
you don't know.
Right. Right. You're right. It's easy to speculate, but yeah, if you actually experience it and you're a victim or whatnot, yeah, there's no damn way. You know, to tell how you would react or how you'd feel, because you know when you're in an actual real life situation like that, yeah, there's no damn way telling. I mean, there's no way at all.
We actually have another caller here on. I'm going to bring them on and see what they have to say about what we've been talking about here. Oh, boy, this ought to be good. Hello, caller at the 2110 area code. You're on. Hello.
Oh, is that me? Let me take off speaker. Hang on. Okay, hey. All right, right.
Hello, you're on, man. You're on the show.
Okay, cool. Oh, awesome. All right. Yeah, I was going to call and, talk to you guys about how I was, raised in West Philadelphia and all that stuff. But the last caller that I was listening to actually was talking about men being raped by women. And it actually kind of stirred up some emotions for me. I got a little emotionally invested in the conversation. But I guess I was wondering, if you guys can weigh in on your opinion on this one. I mean, maybe I wasn't necessarily. Do you think, if it's a fat girl, does it count?
Nope. Get him off right now.
You're a dick.
Get him off.
Well.
Ryan, cut him off.
Ryan.
I was raped, she was very aggressive.
Let's give this guy a second to redeem himself here because he's kind of entertaining here.
I mean, she fed me like a lot of liquor and stuff like that, and
Brian.
She was nice and all, but yeah, the fact remains that she was huge. She was like a land whale,
Brian.
And so I'm not sure.
Get him off.
All righty. Yeah, wow. No idea who that was. And, he tried. And he waited for quite some time just to get on and say that. So, good for him. What a dickwad. Okay, yeah. Oh, shit. Pardon me. Yeah, we've been having a real serious discussion here, and wow. it doesn't hurt for some asshole to get on there and try to, change the subject. I have no idea who that was. That was great, though. Probably some random caller out of nowhere. You know what? Here's the thing. This song, this big song that's popular that I like a lot, it's called Royals by Lorde. I guess she's from the Netherlands. I thought she was from Britain.
She's
Quinn.
From New Zealand.
New Zealand, okay. You know what? And there's been a lot of controversy over this song lately.
There was a big post on Feministing about how it's racist.
Yeah, it's racist. How is that song racist? I don't know. But you know what? We're going to listen to it real quick while we all, take a pee break.
I'm going to listen for that.
We'll be right back. And, I like the song. I think it's a beautiful song. And the music video is actually really nice. You know what? And I think it fits right into our whole, feminism debate and racism too, feminism, racism, it's all kind of the same kind of fits into the same bubble of umbrella under the some umbrella. Yeah, here we go. A little bit of Royals. We're going to listen to some Royals here and we're going to come back and we're going to debate this and work it into, all this feminism stuff and everything. All right, we'll be right back.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose, dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care.
Do you, Julie?
Well, not in that way.
I didn't know anybody thought about the Kardashians.
that absurdness.
Yeah. Or even Miley Cyrus. No, or Katy Perry. Oh, we're going to get a grill and put that on because it's cool.
Hmm.
You know, I never associated it with black culture. Now I do. Now that you pointed it out to me, well, thanks.
Now
well,
you've ruined it for me. Thank you.
Sorry, if I may interject here. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that this song is engaging in, you know, some cultural appropriation from, you know, the black community. Does that necessarily make it racist in and of itself? I mean, you know, Western music has been appropriating black culture for decades. For example, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
The very genre of rock and roll is essentially white people, white musicians,
mm-hmm.
co-opting black rhythm and blues. Cultural appropriation. Does that mean rock
right.
and roll by its very nature is racist?
No, it's not. Absolutely not. That's my question is, you know, I mean, some of the things I heard about, you know, I heard from songs, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, maybe they're referring to, but you know, and then I find out she's not from the US of A or anything else. It's like New Zealand. Does New Zealand have like a hardcore black culture or whatnot? And then if you watch the actual music video, there's nothing black about it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just kind of astonishing to me that somehow this got labeled as racist. That's
well, who wrote that article?
I just posted it to your wall.
Oh, geez.
Well, I can tell you it was not a white woman, or it was not a black woman that wrote it.
Doesn't matter what color woman. The woman was.
I'll tell you who I'm pulling
it. Well, if you're talking, you know, putting something out there, it's
uh-huh.
nice to know who actually wrote it.
Uh-huh.
The author's name is Veronica Bayetti Flores.
Let me take a
moment. I'm not familiar with her.
Oh, really? You haven't, like, spooned with her or anything?
No. No kidding.
You don't expect to be like sharing flip flops with her in the in jail.
No.
All
well,
right.
Actually, I'm not a huge reader of feminist things, to be perfectly honest.
I'm just teasing. But you know, I'm seriously. It's like I don't understand. Is this song considered? I don't understand how the song is considered racist. Seriously, is it like not a USA thing? Is it more, you know, in the UK or New Zealand or some foreign country that it's considered racist? You know, I mean, even the images in the music video itself, you know, you got two guys standing there boxing each other and stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, and you got like a TV with like music, you know, with static, little TV with static going on and everything in the music video itself. But I think it's, you know, overall, I think it's a really beautiful song. And I've heard all this controversy out of nowhere. Just all of a sudden, it's racist. You know, it's being considered racist. I saw it on all the news and all that. It's like, and why? And I just don't get it. I don't see how. I mean, beyond, like, you know, mentioning, like, you know, gold teeth or something like that, you know? But, you know, I guess gold teeth is something
well,
that's more than just, like,
a
black culture thing
teeth,
here
though.
In the U.S. of A., right? I mean.
Okay, looking at, I'm looking at the comments on the article now, and
uh-huh.
a girl from New Zealand replied, and I got to read this. I've registered purely to tell you that you are clueless about New Zealand culture. Dear Americans, this is why you have such crap reputations around the world. Guess what? It's not all about you and your issues. Golf? I can go play golf for a few bucks down at the local course. Polo? It's not a rich man's game here.
And what is Central Park East when it's at home? Is it some New York thing? And then she quotes a song, or she quotes part of the song, and she says, this is not about black Americans. This is about the rubbish commercial music that American cultural imperialism feeds us. This song is about how New Zealand youth feel when every popular song is about gold teeth and crystal and trashing hotel rooms, etc.
Well, you know, love that. Honestly, whoever wrote that comment, and Dr. Quinn, if you could do me a favor and send me that article so I can take a look at
yep.
it, I'd appreciate
I'll post it. To, yeah.
But, you know, in a way, you know, I can definitely see their point. I mean, you know, our popular culture, you know, pop music in particular, is extremely glamorized, you know, exhorts wealth and fame above all. You know, I could see the song as a mockery of American excess rather than strictly a racial issue.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that right there is a very fair point.
Well, American excess, yes, sure. But how is that racist? I mean...
I'm not saying it is.
Okay. But you know what? I don't think... I mean, you know, I think every culture... And every country has their version of, you know, of excess. I don't think America is exclusive in that degree. I mean, honestly, I really don't.
Oh, we're pretty damn bad. We are bad.
Here we go.
I do.
Okay, how so?
I think
Please
we should
elaborate.
All live like paupers.
Do what? All these what? Paupers? What?
I think that we have gone to extremes.
And the media
just exasperates it. And our youth think that they're entitled and they need all of this shit that they don't need. I think we need to slow down a little bit.
What? American media or just America in itself? Or, I mean, how so?
American consumerism.
Yes, exactly. Period. We're out of control. We're out of control, and the shit we buy, we don't even use.
Oh, everything I buy, I use, especially the vodka and Diet Pepsi. Yeah, it's called... yeah, it's called poetry grenades. Wow. Okay. You know, no, but I'm being serious though. This is wow. See, here we have like entered a whole new realm here that I didn't even.
We're not even on feminism anymore.
Yeah, feminism. Yeah. Okay. Like you know, because you know, I didn't really think. Well, okay, no offense or anything, but I didn't think feminism really was that big of an issue anymore because. It seems like, to me personally, okay, don't get offended.
Because you've moved beyond it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like women, I have seen them excel. My wife has excelled. Many other people have excelled, you know, that are females. And, you know, in society, they're CEOs or whatnot, managers, et cetera, you know. And women can, you know.
Yeah, but the ratio is not.
Oh, the ratio.
Useful.
Okay, see, you know, if you're going to start, like, spouting out statistics, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
Brian, I'm sorry.
We're moving forward. We're just not quite there yet.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were speaking.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, what I was going to say, the way I see feminism, and to a large extent the direction that the gay rights movement is moving,
uh-huh.
although we're not quite as far along as feminism.
Right.
You know, but with feminism, I see it not fighting a legal battle, but rather
right.
a cultural battle.
Cultural, yes. Okay, I can see that, yes. Okay.
I mean, am I wrong in saying that, or...?
No, absolutely not. I can relate to that a little bit more. I can see that. More of a cultural, yes, yes. But you know what? In the same vein, I am a stay-at-home dad. You know, I am a male, white male, who is a stay-at-home dad who takes care of two kids and tries to balance the house and do everything else. You know, how is that viewed, you know, by, you know, society? Honestly, how is it?
Yeah, and how is it? I think women love that. I don't know how men do that.
Women love that? You know, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Here we go. I'm trying to, like, just flip it on the other side. It's like, you know, okay, here I am. It's like, okay, yeah, conventions, everything has been flipped over, okay? You know, feminism, great. You know, my wife is the breadwinner. She works her ass off and does great things and everything. And I'm the guy that stays at home, takes care of the kids, makes their breakfast, makes their, you know, lunches and shit for school and all that, you know, and tries to balance everything else out, you know. But, you know, when I was growing up, that was not the convention, you know. Stay-at-home dad, no, definitely not. It was frowned upon, you know. A stay-at-home dad, to me, still giving the culture I grew up, you know, with, was frowned upon, you know. It's like, okay, he is a loser. So, you know, there we go. You know what I mean? I mean, just to flip it over in on the other side. I mean, what? How? How do I deal with that? How do I feel about that? You know?
Has anyone ever come at you about that?
Oh, people, like, terms? Come at me with, like, axes and stuff and, you know, hatchets and stuff straight at my head. No. No, I'm just trying to, you know, show the other side, you know.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Okay. Feminism.
Yeah. So you understand the stigma that
the stigma,
is put on
yes.
women who stay at home with their kids
exactly.
because women
exactly.
judge each other.
Right. Right. The stigma. Yeah. I guess there used to be, you know, a stigma for women. You know, you have to be mom. You stay at home. You provide as far as like cooking and cleaning the house and, you know, taking care of the kids and all that. And then, you know, okay, so a lot of males are starting to do the same thing while the females are now the providers and, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, so where do we go from here? You know, and that to me is like, okay, so what defines feminism now at this point? See, that's my exact point as far as feminism, okay? We're back to the original subject, feminism, okay? Okay, should I start some sort of like cult saying melanism?
I'll join you, Bryce. Melanism.
Please. Yeah, melanism. Tell me all about it. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's a two-way street, you know.
I stay at home, too, and I do house chores and all that crap.
I know you do, yeah.
Just like, I even wear an apron, you know.
So, melanism. So, would I be stigmatized for being a melanist? You know, I don't, you know. Just my point. It's like, yeah, the gender roles, I mean, gender, male, female, or, you know, and even like, you know, what I brought up with, you know, being, you know, gay or homosexual or whatnot and getting married or whatnot. It's like that ultimately is my thing. It's like our society and everything is changing so drastically and so quickly. And evolving.
All the time to be alive, ain't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It is. It's like, okay, so how do we evolve? How do we adapt? You know what I mean? And I'm trying my best, you know, as a stay-at-home dad and all that. And being a melanist, I guess I'm going to start quoting myself as a melanist.
Well, you know.
Is that not fair or what?
I mean. Brian, speaking of, you know, the roles of sexuality and gender
uh-huh.
in society, you know, while to us it seems like it's changing,
Right.
You know, I'm a believer that, you know, while technology may change, cultures essentially evolve and go through cycles.
Right.
We are certainly not the first culture to see a societal acceptance of homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
We are certainly not the first culture in history to see a reversing, or, well, I don't really like the term reversing. I would call it more an expansion of gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly other cultures have had this, and they have thrived. I don't see it as a threat. And I think as a society, you know, we'll get through it, definitely. And honestly, I think we'll be a better society for it. I mean,
right.
you mentioned earlier, I guess kind of tongue-in-cheek in a sense, what a patriotic show we are. Because we always do the pledge, but I'm being very serious here. I mean, you know,
right?
This is a country that is founded on the principles of, you know, all are created equal, entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
You know, how can we truly live up to that ideal if we are denying people based on their gender or sexuality their pursuit of happiness? Now, before we get any pissed off callers or anything, I would like to add a little caveat here. I'm speaking strictly in terms of any activity involving consenting adults only.
Oh, God, please don't have any callers call in about anything disgusting like that.
Well, I'm
not
sorry.
Not consenting adults, I'm talking about, you never know what you're going to get.
I'm sorry, but when you've been a gay rights activist for 10 years, you know, you constantly have to deal with, you're recruiting kids bullshit. So it's really more of a reflex to say it. So it just kind of comes with,
I completely understand that. You know, at some point, society hopefully won't have to think of things in these terms, that everything is just going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be equal rights or gay rights, women's rights, hopefully we can push forward and stop having to have these conversations or debates about the way society thinks about things.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I agree.
Okay,
all right,
you agree.
You know what? We have a shitload of callers on hold here that, I'm going to bring on one by one here.
Get them on. See,
here we go. Okay, everyone, brace yourselves. Here we go. Here we go. We got a shitload of callers. Okay, here we go. All right. And, you know, don't know their names or anything. I can only identify them by their area code. So, caller number one goes by Bod Sheep. They've been holding the longest for 17 minutes. We're going to bring on Bod Sheep. Bod Sheep, you are on.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can.
Oh,
loud,
excellent.
Loud and clear.
I just want to let you know I am from that country you're referring to, Elio O'Connor, that young thing you're talking about. Sorry? We prefer to refer to it as the Independent Republic of Aotearoa.
Uh-huh.
We find, you know, calling us NZers and stuff, we get mixed up with our Aussie brethren and it's kind of offensive.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I want to get into this Ellie Chicken, that racist song. New Zealand, I can tell you, is not a racist country. You know, we've got over 9,000 Asians, quite a few Indians, and it's a very multicultural country. But, yeah, people really get frustrated at how we're viewed by the rest of the world and some of the things that come out of America at the moment. I don't know how to explain it. It's just shoved down your throat constantly. Yeah, I'm not too sure.
You guys must get really sick of our arrogance.
But I've got to tell you, you know, along the cases with, you know, she's not a racist, but along the lines, you know, you're talking about feminism and stuff like that.
Right.
We're, our laws are very liberal. For example, Ellie, you know, New Zealand's quite a small country, all know each other. You know, she just lived down my block, and, you know, I'm 20, and, you know, she was 15 at the time, and it was okay. And, you know, high five, I went there, but, you know, how do you feel about that?
You know, could you repeat, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I was looking at something. How do we feel about, I apologize.
About our liberal laws in New Zealand, like, for example. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, regarding
I mean,
what?
Prostitution's
legal.
I
would move there.
Would you?
Oh, yeah. I feel that a lot of our laws are way too conservative for my taste.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, for example, between the different ethnic groups, we can joke. Like, I can call a nigger a nigger, and no one's offended. It's crazy.
I think maybe because it has different consequences, not even consequences, but just meaning here.
Meaning?
I hate that word. Yes.
How is that offensive?
How is it offensive?
Yeah.
Well, because it was a word derived and used in slave culture. And it still has meaning and hurtful meaning behind it. And I don't feel that in any capacity can anyone take back that word from our society and make it into something that's positive. But
with
that's
time,
just my feeling. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
we can say anything we want. We have free speech. We're not
confined. We
really?
Have free speech, too, but we don't... But
yeah, okay,
I
yeah, yeah, okay.
Let,
allow
anyone.
Me to intervene here. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
As far as the word, you know, nigger or nigga or whatever, you know, yeah, it does have a derogatory meaning given the past, you know, and, you know, Civil War and, you know, and all that good stuff, you know, in the past, you know, slavery and all that. But at the same time, you know, it is a just everyday kind of term as far as, you know, hip-hop culture here in the United States, you know. And, yeah, it does have, you know, it's kind of like certain people can say it and certain people can't, you know, it seems. And I hate to say that, and I really do, but that's the truth here in the United States. And I see exactly what you're talking about and what you're getting at there, man. Totally get it.
But,
so,
do you think
what kind
Americans
of derogatory terms
you know,
do you have,
like,
or whatnot?
Yeah. Oh, I'm called all different things, and it doesn't really bother. You know, same way I'd imagine it does in America. But do you hope you'll be able to use the word nigger and not offend anyone?
Oh no! I mean, as a Caucasian male, I could not just go around saying nigga. No.
I have more respect for our black community than to use that word in any capacity.
When you say things like that, it sounds like a cop out, and it's like, oh, I've got black friends. You know, that's cool. Yeah, it sounds like a cop out.
No, I'm not copping
like
out. I'm just telling you what the culture is like here. black people can, you know, certain, you know, and rappers or whatnot can say it freely, yeah, without consequences.
So
but if I were to go, like, just walk into my local, like, you know, convenience store and say, hey, nigga, get me that goddamn vodka right now. I'd be, like, getting my ass kicked. You know, it's a cultural thing.
And I don't think it's wholly a cultural thing. I think that there are a lot of African Americans who do not like to use that word either.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. I know. I agree.
Right.
I agree. Absolutely, Julie. You're right. You're right. Absolutely. And, you know, and there's white people who don't like to be called honkies. And there's white people who don't like to be called white trash, you know, or or, you know, trailer trash. And, you know, it happens.
People hearing these things, you know, nigger, you know, slant eyes, whatever that's getting thrown around, you know, if you take offense, I feel you must be feeling insecure about your place in society.
Yes, I do.
I don't. I feel very secure with who I am
like
in my society.
You know, that, like, for example, in NZ, my tribe is Ngāti Pākehā, which means the tribe of the white pig.
That's beautiful.
And,
I love that.
I think. Oh, it's the largest tribe, and, you know, we're quite proud. But people try to use it in a derogatory way. And, you know, I just don't take offense, really, to be honest. It's, you know, if I was to call you some names like dickhead or you're a wanker or, you know, anything
wanker,
like that.
Yeah, wanker. What does wanker really mean? Or like bloody? Bloody or wanker? Bloody wanker. What if I called you a bloody wanker? How would you feel?
And semen goes all over another person.
Binge.
Oh, we want the term fanny offensive. you say fanny, we think of a woman's vagina.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, hey, you know what? We have other callers on. And, hey,
yeah,
you know what, man? Please stay on and keep this conversation going.
Don Donaldson.
All right. Well, you know what? We're gonna bring another caller on, and you know what? You've been great, and stay on if you want, man, and keep filling us in here. All right. We have another caller on here from the 817 area code. 817. You are on. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah. So you guys earlier were talking about how you are a gay rights activist.
Not all of them, just me.
Okay. Well, I feel that I shouldn't really I feel that we shouldn't really allow this because you know, I don't want a whole bunch of faggots walking around.
It's the same color, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Asshole.
I don't want them fucking my kids, you know.
Cut them. Brian,
cut
this asshole.
Okay. Well, wow.
Let's call it.
Wow. Had no idea. They disguise themselves with secret names. All right. So we got another caller on here. Well, you know what? Constantine for Abilene. Been holding for 25 minutes. Let's see what he or she has to say. Hello.
I will give you three guesses as to my sex. This is Constantine. How are you, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh,
it's like if I am female, I will just point out there is something very, very wrong with my larynx. Back to you, sir.
Welcome, Constantine. And you know what? The sound of your voice alone. You know, I'm totally hetero, but goddamn, you sound like some smooth talking Darth Vader, and I like it.
well, thank you.
All right. Yeah, no, honestly,
that's the first time anybody's ever told me that, but I do appreciate it. No, actually, it's not. But anyway.
Honestly, so what do you have to share with, you know, with our, mm-hmm. what we
I am American, and I was born in America. However, I learned to speak in England. I lived in London when I was a young man, and then I moved to Texas, and boy, do I have a strange accent. But anyway, I've been back to London not too long ago, and I didn't fool anyone. I wasn't trying to fool anyone, but I mean, it's like, hey, yo, hey, what are you talking about? You're so quiet, call a damn yank or something like that. It's like, well, no. But, yes, I don't know, actually. Well, anyway, but back to the thing about Lord. She named herself because she admired Marie Antoinette. And, of course, if you've ever been to New Zealand, there really isn't much of a black presence there as far as Africanized. You know, of course, Maori are Polynesian.
Really?
So, well, yes, really. The indigenous people, as compared to the Aborigines, which are, they're not Africanized either, but they're
right.
Really dark. Maori are Polynesian, and it's not a black thing at all. And there's a very, very small black population in New Zealand. So, I mean, I think that being a part of the British Commonwealth, a lot of people have a lot of a kind of stigma that's kind of hard to grasp if you've never been to England and been part of the culture there. Because it's sort of being the thought that people are your better simply because of socioeconomic class is not accepted by all, but it's certainly an underpinning theme that can't be avoided, especially in England or, you know, like New Zealand, South Africa, which stemmed a lot to some of the views of apartheid, and Australia, you know, and, you know, any one of the other places where the people that are just fiendishly white, you know, there's no
confusion. I love it.
Might be a little bit mixed in with the indigenous people. No, you've ever been there, you know, there's about as white people get, you know, so, but, you know, but I don't think that this person in any way was referring to this song, at least from a sense that, she was making fun of black people, especially not Americans. You know, they're talking about Mabel, which, of course, is the money news in New Zealand. So why would they be talking about that as if dollars if they were talking about Americans? You know, so.
What exactly was she talking about?
A person. You know what? I think you should be able to say what you want. And if you really want to know what the person was talking about, send a fan club a letter.
That's a fan club. Yeah. Do they still have those?
Most probably has one. I have a fan club, but I didn't even start that one. But I do spoken word poetry and that kind of thing all over the place. So, but anyway, that meaning that here nor there, if you have a good publicist, she should have a fan club. You know, just because of the way the music industry works. So. But that's my thought on that. You know, I mean, I think there's probably a little about wanting to be empowered. But, you know, there's certain things about the social class, you know, for a reason why a lot of heavy metal bands came out of the area from Birmingham in England, for example, is because of the oppressive nature of social classes there. There's not really that much chance of rising above your station unless you're incredibly exceptional. It's not like America. That's
okay.
And being if you've been in America and you're not widely traveled, it's hard to really kind of see that, especially if you haven't been to England or one of the other Commonwealths. I've been fortunate to be to Australia, New Zealand, England, Scotland, Ireland, other places in Europe, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Okay. Wow.
I didn't want to write down there. But I certainly enjoy your show. First time I've called in, but I've listened upon occasion. So.
Well, you know, I'm glad you called in, man. And I don't think this is the first time you've called in because I kind of, you know, recognize your voice, but yeah, you're fun and you have a really
we just want to listen to you talk. We don't care what you say. Just keep laughing.
If everyone made it, come on, a co-host or anything like that, please just send me a message or something. You don't have your chat room. You are evil people. People that do not have the chat room open should be called bad people. I hope you feel that.
Oh, we've been called worse.
Bad people. Yeah, you've been great. Hey, man, you know, please. Feel free to stay online here. We got several other callers here. Stay online, and you know what? Give us your James Earl Jones Darth Vader voice, because I've always admired it. And
and like that. So if you ever want to hear some poetry, I would love spit.
If you got some poetry, my gosh, I would love to hear you read my poetry. With your voice. If I had a voice like yours, good Lord. All right, so yeah, we have another caller here that's been waiting for 21 minutes. Oh, my gosh. From the, from the 206 area code. 206. 206. You are on the line.
God.
Hello. Hello.
Is my turn already? Am I really here?
My God. Is this Ryan Snellman?
I think it is. After this last couple weeks, I'm not so sure anymore.
Welcome to the show, man. What's up? What do you feel about feminism and Darth Vader voices?
I've had so many
voices.
Thoughts over the last couple hours. I'm not even sure where to freaking start.
You probably don't even know where you are right now, do you?
I don't even want to know where I am right now.
So what's up, man? Thanks for
coming in. As long as you're not in Fresno.
Imagine real a man. He knows nowhere where he is, but he is in.
See, there we go. There we go. Yes. He needs to keep doing it, like, in a land where... Yeah, the whole, movie theater things, yeah. You need to introduce everybody we have on in a land where any poet asshole, just do it for us real quick, in a land. Like,
in a world where no one actually is as beautiful as their voice, I would like to... I am not actually 8 feet tall. I'm 9. Back to you, sir.
Bravo.
There you go, man. All right. So yeah, Mr. Snowden, what the hell is up, man? It's good to hear from you.
Well, I think first I'd like to start off with the use of terminology, like the word, like some of the racist words we use in this country. The reason they hold weight in this country is because the history holds such a dark undertone of what happened. It wasn't that long ago that, to be a black man in certain parts of this country, you could still be lynched. Movements, there's parts of the movements of the 60s that, that this is still recent history of, civil rights, of, we want equality, that, there was this history of, you are beneath us. And I don't know that same malevolence of, calling one race, not human exists in some other countries. So that even now that word wouldn't hold the same weight, maybe in New Zealand or Australia or England, where it might hold weight, might still hold weight here, where, 50 years ago, a black man in the wrong city still might be hanged for something he didn't do.
Hmm.
Well, If I may say something real quick, regarding your your remarks. You know, as it relates to the particular language that we've been discussing, you may be very well correct. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, all societies go through cycles, and I think you would be hard-pressed to find any society anywhere in the world that does not have its own prejudices. You know, they may not be based necessarily on race or along the same racial lines as ours, but I think prejudice does exist in every society. So I don't think it's really fair to say, well, you know, they don't have this prejudice here. You know, they may very well. It just might be towards a different group.
Well, I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, they don't have their own prejudice, but for that particular word or that particular nomenclature, you know, our prejudice might not hold the same weight as theirs might. You know, they might have a whole different history of a particular group or groups of people that have been treated differently that, you know, we may bench around words that have no meaning here that might have some meaning somewhere else.
Very true.
But.
All right. Hey, you know, don't you have some sort of some special project or reading coming up here in March?
Okay, so let's get on to lighter events.
Lighter events. Plug it.
Meanwhile, okay, back on the ranch.
Okay, so the last Saturday in March, I'll be pushing a poetry reading here in Seattle.
Oh yeah, okay.
It'll be a 3-hour event at the Market Theater, the Pike Place Market.
Uh-huh.
And I've got some, you know, I've got, you know, interest in a kind of a great core of featured readers so far, you know, with like Bill Gaynor, William Taylor Jr., Jason Hardung, Zarina Zabriskie, you know, they're all gonna they're all committed to coming up and, you know, making this a great night. And
that's a hell of a lineup.
And barring any changes in his lifestyle right now, Steve Goldberg may even come out from Cleveland. You know.
Wow. Steven Goldberg. He lives right around the same area as I do. So
he can
snag me and take him with me and I could be his little bitch. But wow.
As an added bonus, if all the stars line up just right, you know, I may even get the infamous Jack Henry up here for a reading.
Jack Henry, oh my gosh. Yeah, he is.
You know, the elusive Jack Henry, you know, who pops up about once every 5 years for, you know,
yes, he does.
The showdown with the universe.
And, you know, he's a great writer, he's a great poet, and he's a good guy. He does kind of, like, pop in and pop out. But, you know, there's a lot of people like that in the whole, like, small press scene or whatnot.
And so, you know, so I'm trying to build, like, for the first 2 hours or so of the event, I'm trying to build a good core of, you know, featured readers, and for that last hour, I will try and do an open mic for any of, you know, the locals and laggards who show up to, you know, give voice to, you know,
locals and migrants.
Yes, you know,
you get a lot of those there in Seattle there.
Oh, you know, of course, you know, it's Seattle, you know, it's. You know, it's a transient community we've got here, you know, it's,
right. You know,
2/3 of the population has moved here in the last 20 years, so it's like nobody's really settled yet.
Have
you
settled?
Nobody knows. Oh, well, you know, it's, around here, I'm about as local as you get.
I'm sorry, but I can't resist asking, what's your take on the, you know, the current state of, you know, the baseball playoffs? Just a quick summation here, really quick.
Let's see. What is the current state of baseball playoffs? There are, you know, it's, you know, since the Mariners ever go, I never pay attention to baseball in October.
Okay, well then, you know, fuck it. If you don't, yeah, I'm the same way. If the Reds aren't in, it's like kind of like, yeah, you know what, fuck it.
Although I was rather disappointed that the, you know, with that Pittsburgh didn't go any farther.
Yeah.
You know, but that was you know, back in the, you know, April when we were all at the you know, Steve's Cleveland event, you know, I took the time out to go see Pittsburgh play. So that was
right.
A grand old time.
It does sound like it. Hey, man, all right. You know what? We got another caller on I'm going to bring on here. And please feel free to stay on. And we only have a few more minutes here live. We got somebody who calls themselves Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. Okay. They've been holding for 15 minutes, and you know what? Got to give them credit for that. We're going to bring on Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. If you're listening, you are coming on. Let us know what you have to say and what you want to talk about. Don't
right,
hug
well,
me. Are you there?
Yes, I am. So I've found from personal experiences with myself, that in the past that girls typically do enjoy rape, especially when you give them enough.
All right, get
them
off.
It's really fun. It's a great
What's
experience.
What's wrong with you, Brian?
Don't even laugh at
so man.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, they really like it when I get a whole bunch of black
Brian,
people.
Brian.
Okay.
Brian.
All right, it's gone.
And remember, kids, that this kind of humor will have you sent to the principal's office. Back to you, host.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it amazes me that people that people actually stay on long enough to just say something like that, you know? And you know what? Fuck him. I'm going to give him the official toilet flush. Just, you know, wow. I've been fooled when, you know, when they know how to call in. Like that.
Three times,
here
Brian.
We go. Three times.
Watson, drop the drink.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel about the assholes keep calling in and trying
you
to.
You do realize, of course, you can talk in archives after this live show.
Oh, we will. This show will go on beyond. Yeah. We archives is coming right up in about 2.5 minutes. And
I haven't had this much fun and still remain conscious. Yeah, I had.
Yeah. So anyone who wants to stay on and keep talking, it's coming right up in a couple of minutes. So, yeah, you know, wow. You know, I don't know how much we really covered as far as feminism and, you know, gay marriage and all that. But you know what? We have probably an entire other hour we can, like, talk about in the archives, and it will get documented, and people will listen. And actually, this show is pretty popular, believe it or not. And it's a lot of fun, and I have a lot of fun hanging out with everybody who is on it, my co-host especially. Makes it fun. It's like a goddamn party every Friday night. And I shit you not. And
well, I know that you say that you like my voice, but I really love your voice. You know why? But come on, that's lava, man. A little muscle. But that's just me. Okay? Oh, sorry.
You know what? I'm glad to hear somebody else likes my voice.
You
know, because not many other people do, but yours has always been like Lando Calrissian to me, man. Just got to say. Oh, we got one more caller here. I'm going to bring him on real quick here, and hopefully he can join us in the archives. Hello. Hello, caller. You're on.
What's the show about?
This show's about
2 hours long, man. Oh, sorry.
It's about 2 hours long, and yeah.
Yeah, but what's it about?
I don't know. I think it might be about titties and stuff, but
yeah.
You know, just stand in the line and you can join us in the archives.
All right.
Okay? Because
yeah.
We're about to, like, come out here, you know, live, but the archives, we got another hour on the archives. And you know what? What's your favorite song?
I like anything by Hank Williams Jr.
I bet you do. I bet you do, fucker. All right, here we go. We're about to chime out here. 10 seconds, here we go. We're going to do a little Puppet Magic Dragon.
I like Toby Keith.
Pop the magic dragon.
La 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 la. We got another hour, people. We can have more fun. Let's keep it going. Don't hang up. If you hang up, get back on.
In the forest field, all you and me. Oh, pop the magic dragon, live by the sea, and crawl in the autumn mist in a land called Hollyweed. Pop the magic dragon, live by the sea, and crawl in the autumn mist in a land called Hollyweed.
Archives, we're in the after show, and you know, this will get documented, so hey, be on your best behavior or your not bestest behavior. Wow, all right, here we go. And you know, we're still, I mean, our main subject still is feminism, you know, and you know, gay marriage and everything else, and you know, in our country and elsewhere. And yeah, here we go, guys. Wow. Let's pick it right back up after a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon and all of us getting little puffy, be it a clit or...
Yes. And I appreciate you allowing me to represent my group, feminists who are also baritones. Thank you.
Feminist
Let me write that down.
Who are these space balls? Hey, the princess is a base. Hey.
You will always be Lando Calrissian to me. You sound like Billy Dee Williams, you know, on steroids.
Well, let me tell you something. Here's something that really doesn't impress mostly. Hi, all, Kermit the Frog here. You know, I mean, I just don't get the kind of demographic.
Wow.
That was kind of bad.
Oh, okay. You just ruined the whole illusion for me, man. Hello, Kermit the Frog here.
I go, Kermit the Frog here. And let me tell you, I have a whole song about... I like women to have just a little bit, you know, the wider the waistband, the deeper the quicksand. Yay!
So anyhow, yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
I think Constantine might have to come out to a poetry reading.
I agree, Constantine. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah.
Well, hey, if you want to come to Seattle at the end of March, you're more than welcome.
See, goddamn, even his hums are like goddamn deep and like just, yeah, like James Earl Jones. Goddamn. Okay. So, yeah, anyhow, we're trying to stay on subject or not on subject, wherever we want to take it at this point, because we are in the, you know, the after part of the show, and we got a lot of people on here still. You know, there's a lot to talk about still. I mean, you know, feminism, et cetera, you know, Miley Cyrus, you know, hot, kick my ass for it. Yeah, let's move forward with all this good stuff. You know, wow.
You want to talk about Miley Cyrus?
Brian always wants to talk about Miley Cyrus.
Oh boy, here we go. I mean, you know, I'm willing to take this show forward in any way you all feel.
You brought
like.
It up, Brian.
I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, but yeah, I have to admit, I have a slight crush on Miley Cyrus in her twerking.
Was it the crooked tongue?
Her twerking, yeah. The, you know,
the tongue thing is not attractive.
The tongue thing, could you imagine? Okay, male or female, bisexual or male sexual or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Can you imagine the things she could do with that tongue?
she showed
everybody when she was doing it to the barbell or whatever the hell that Alpine hammer that she was holding. In that video.
Oh, you know, here we go. Okay, so Miley Cyrus has become...
I got to say, Brian, hold on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Shut your damn cakehole for a second, all right?
Okay, go ahead.
One thing I do have to say about Miley Cyrus, and this pisses me off, you know. she licks sledgehammers and, you know, oh, she's rebellious and edgy. I lick sledgehammers and people call me an alcoholic. Hey, that's sexist.
I snorted.
Yeah, well, you know, the difference is she does it in a music video and gets paid millions of dollars to do it. You don't.
To quote Spinal Tap, hey, there's nothing wrong with being sexy. They said it's wrong for us to be sexy. I think it's just all right if I want to be sexy. Back to you.
Well, you know, yeah, she gets all naked and shit in a music video and, like, you know, flings around on a, you know, a goddamn wrecking ball. But, you know, oh, good Lord. Okay. Yeah. I should be the one.
What's wrong with you people? God.
I was dropped on my head numerous times.
Now, Brian, the big thing now is her nude photos on that blog. That's the big news story now.
Nude photos of Miley on a blog?
Yeah, it keeps, you know, it's one isn't enough. First it was Robin Thicke, and then it was Wrecking Ball, and now it's the nude photos on the blog. I'm telling you, a sex tape will be in the near future.
Is this any different than Madonna in the 80s?
Exactly. Madonna in the 80s.
It's not.
Nothing. And that's what gets me.
At least
okay.
Madonna was original.
No, Madonna was not original. No, here's my gripe about it. Okay, allow me to intervene. It's like, you know, okay, Madonna, yeah, sure. Okay. She pretends to be all sexual and whatever and wonderful and a great singer. And, yeah, you know, I got to admit, yeah, Madonna was a better singer than Miley is, actually. But, you know, give her a chance. But what Miley is doing right now is no different from what Madonna is doing. That's my thing. That's my gripe, I think, personally. And thought she was Hannah Montana at some point, some Disney bullshit or whatever the fuck. She's getting criticized for it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's
it. And not even that. How big of a freaking deal was Madonna's sex book when it came out? I mean, come on. You know,
It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know how mild it is compared to, like, you know, internet porn now?
God.
You guys, I don't know. I've never watched internet porn.
I have a hard time believing
that. That last statement, the factual change to protect the kids.
At that time, when the sex book came out, I went to B. Dalton Booksellers in South Lake Mall to look at it, and they had it under cellophane. The gal in there looked at me like I was going to whack off from the store over it. This is over 20 years ago,
probably were.
No, to be honest, you were whacking off over Vanilla Ice.
No, I'll tell you what I was doing. I mean, everybody was talking about this book when it came out, and I'll tell you, there was none of this Google and Pornhub and XTube and Red, whatever the hell, back then. To solve that for you, so you had to go out to B. Dalton out there in the South Lake Mall, and I don't give a damn what they renamed it. It's South Lake Damn Mall. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And I went to B.
South
Dalton.
South Lake Mall representing.
And but what upset me the most when they took the fountains out, because you could hear them.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
I think you've been hanging out in Greenfield.
Where? I was at, I went to Hot Sam, and, the gal there, I said, why'd they take the fountains out of here? Because I used to be able to hear them.
Really? Well, you know, you know what? I can relate with you as far as, you know, the Madonna sex book, you know, and it was wrapped in cellophane.
Yes, it was.
You know, I know that. It was like this, you know, like kind of like aluminum foil. It was more like aluminum foil, like cellophane type shit. And, you know, I didn't have the internet back then.
It's sketchy.
I was just, you know, a poor college student at the time, you know, and working at a college bookstore. And we happened to get several copies actually in ordered there in the college bookstore where I worked at. This is no shit. And so the guy who was in charge of, you know, these special order books opened one. And my God. Yeah. That was like, masturbatory fodder, like beyond belief. Madonna was the shit back then. She was the Miley Cyrus, you know, of
No, I can't say
time.
You can't say that she was that Miley Cyrus is anything. I just don't think.
Oh boy, here we go.
That the create. I'm sorry. I just don't see. I don't think you can compare them.
Oh, okay, okay.
Just,
well, how so?
Because
please elaborate. I mean,
because Madonna was sexy.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Well, she still
I
is.
Just don't think
she's
that,
an old woman,
just,
and she still is sexy. I agree with that. No, honestly, I really
but
do.
But I just don't. Well, I don't think Miley pulls it off. I think
you don't. Okay.
That's just my personal opinion.
Okay.
No.
Well, you know. I kind of agree. Time will tell. Time will tell. You know, I'm sure there's many people who didn't believe that Madonna was going to pull it off, you know. But Madonna has, you know, she has. She has proven her mettle, you know, in so many ways.
But even the first time Madonna came out, you know, on stage, she was just, you know, sexy.
Some people have a presence.
Around.
And other people are
a
little bit more contrived, I think, is what she's saying. Am I right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's getting late. My words aren't here.
I saw Madonna in
I'm
concert
saying,
in 2006.
Say that again?
Yeah.
No, I was just saying that I saw Madonna at the United Center in 2006, and she was... Probably the coolest concert I've ever been to, and I never thought I would say that. She is badass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've actually had the opportunity to speak with her three times when I've been working on radio over the years, and I would say this much: she's about as normal, but an intelligent, and a thoughtful, and just as a businesswoman, she's an impressive person, regardless of the whole artistic part of her, you know, just as an individual, she has quite the control over herself. And I think that, you know, there are feminists that say, you know, well, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. But I think she's a personification of what feminism can be from one perspective. It's feminism allows you to be what it is that you want to be, regardless of the way that people say woman should act. Isn't that in itself what feminism means? That, like, whatever a man says you should or shouldn't do, that you decide as a woman what is right for you.
Julie, you take that one.
Well, sir, here's the thing. This is the internet, and that was too many words.
Oh, sorry.
But the thing is, like, do you guys, do you remember Tiffany?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
she
Tiffany.
That dream.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember Taylor Dane.
Yeah, but her arch nemesis was Debbie Gibson, remember? You had like two camps. You had Tiffany and Debbie Gibson camps, man. And we'd like meet in parking lots and go down, you know, and like cassette singles would be flying everywhere. Like, you know, we're not putting up with this shit, you know, and we like Tiffany, you know, and
long live Debbie Gibson.
Deborah, I think she's Deborah now or whatever, but I think Tiffany, I think she's Amish now.
Is she really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. It's
wow.
Not the Jews. It's not the Bushes that run the world. It is the evil Amish. They have a mafia, you know. Back to you.
Oh, yeah. Amish Mafia. Yeah, I've heard about that. It's like some sort of syndicated TV show now, right?
Yeah. Well, the Amish are getting all the craze.
Proving
now,
that,
you know?
Even the Amish will sell their souls to reality TV here in America.
It's becoming all the rage now, the Amish. There's Breaking Amish, Amish Mafia. Vanilla Ice has an Amish show that starts tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, you haven't heard that? Vanilla Ice is going to have an Amish show tomorrow, yeah. I think it starts
Saturday.
Oh,
what the hell
was that? In an effort to claim my turf, what I did is I took my spiral notebook, college ruled spiral notebook in 1988, and I took the eraser on my pencil and I erased Tiffany into it, man. So I had a white Tiffany, like, a thing on my spiral notebook, and it was like, This is, as if any, everybody asked or some, said stuff to me, I'd be like, this is Tiffany Turf. Back off. You know, like we like Tiffany here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, okay, well, if you're such a Tiffany fan, what's her current status, man?
No, I told you she joined a religion. I don't know. I lost her. What happened was this guy I know, he's in Lake County Jail now, but he, what he did.
I was in the Lake County Jail?
Yeah, you may have met him, but what he did is he went to the science room and got formaldehyde, and they had these wiki sticks they had at the time. They were 2 for $10, I think. But I had that in 1991, and I
And then what happened?
I lost.
You blanked out?
Yeah, I lost. I lost 17 years of my life.
From formaldehyde and a wiki stick. What is a wiki stick?
Yeah, you roll a marijuana cigarette and you dip it in formaldehyde and you let it dry out. And when you smoke it, you become. You?
You become you?
Well, yeah.
No offense to you. You are a special kind of stupid, aren't you?
No. But,
you know, yeah. I think some of you people out there, you think drugs are just glamorous and a status symbol and everything like that. But let me tell you from personal experience, one day, it will become your turn to treat. Back to you, sir.
And that was a special PSA from Billy D. Williams, a.k.a. Lando Calrissian. Wow. Thank you.
Really him,
okay, continue.
Is that really him?
It is. Oh. I shit you not. It is.
Yeah, but I said I lost a lot of my life. I felt a change, like a I don't know if it was like a molecular change in my brain. But I started liking like heavier stuff, and I got like really heavy into Slayer for like seven or 8 years.
Oh man, now you're talking my alley right there.
Yeah, and I had the song. What I took is I bought a Maxell. Yeah, man, he changed my life. But you're putting a horse before the cart, though, man. I bought a Maxell high definition cassette, 120 minutes worth, and I took Slayer's song Blood Red and I just recorded it over and over and over until I couldn't get it on that tape anymore, man. And I spent 8 years, and that's all I listened to, man. I threw my television set out the window. I fucking burned my socks. I did everything I could do, and I just sat there and listened to that for 8 years, man. And it made me the man I am today, and I think it saved me from really doing bad things, man. And I'm happy to be here as a self-identified transvaginal lesbian. I am also a feminist.
Well, I can tell you're totally a feminist.
Yeah, and also I'm a transvaginal lesbian feminist.
Yeah, vaginal lesbian, yeah.
And also a stay-at-home dad of four puppies.
I have to intervene just for a second. It sounds like somebody is like raking leaves in the background, and you know, I don't know who the fuck's doing that, but
I'm muted.
I have a nervous twitch or I take the...
Stop raking leaves in the background and just chime in.
Well, what I do is I stretch the landline out the front door and I rake leaves at night. It's just something that keeps me from really doing something, you know?
Yeah, so it's good old landlines, man. Yeah.
Is it a touch tone phone?
Yeah, it's got touch tones. But I, as a stay at home lesbian dad of
dad, let's hear about this.
I would like to say that I think I heard what you said earlier.
Yeah, I'm a lesbian stay at home dad myself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard what you said earlier, so I was just calling in to talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's well makes me feel
about
good.
Everything you talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, good to hear from you, man. And
yeah.
Glad you called in, you know, honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you guys want to talk about all that stuff again, it's like we can talk about it now.
We can talk about it now, huh? I don't know. I don't know.
But how far
I don't know what I want to talk about at this point, but we got a lot, you know. We're talking about feminism. You know, well, you know, there's definitely, you know, feminism and, you know, gosh darn, you know, dadism, stay-at-home dadism, you know?
Yeah.
Point, counterpoint. You know, some people get it, some people don't.
Here's
get chided for being, you know, a stay-at-home dad. But, you know, as far, you know, does that make me like the new or, you know, retro, or not retro, but, you know, the new 21st century feminist, you know, because I'm a stay-at-home dad. I mean, that's what kind of gets to me, you know.
Yeah.
You hear about all this feminism crap, you know, but at the same time it's like, okay, I don't know.
Here's can I talk to you?
Sure you can. Yes.
Awesome. Sounds like we've made a love connection.
I think if a person's a stay-at-home dad, there's this really deep stigma attached to that. And
right.
It makes the person who is the stay-at-home dad in the situation feel like he is some type of loser, if you will, because his spouse is his breadwinner, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
well, being under house arrest is nowhere near as glamorous as it sounds.
It's not, man, because you try to fucking play in the sprinkler with that damn bracelet on, and it's like, kid, daddy's got to stay in the house. You know?
You.
Yeah. I can't come out in the water, kids. Daddy's got to stay in the house, you know?
Damn that bracelet.
Ain't that a bitch, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you want 17 squad cars in the driveway, let me step out and take you for a walk, you know? Let's go down to the park. The fucking SWAT team will be there, you know?
It's just a good thing to have a thing for a man in uniform.
Oh, yeah. If you're the spouse that stays home and you happen to have a penis, which I had up until 97, I had a penis at that time in my life. And I felt a very deep stigma at that time. Like, when's your husband gonna find a job? Why are you bringing home all the money? Why is he?
Now, when you say you had a penis, does that mean you're referring to yours or someone else's? Sorry.
No, I had I was anatomically male up until 1997. I then became a transvaginal lesbian in the spring of 97.
Where did that boing come from?
tablets that had I got them on AOL. I got a 500 free hour disk in the mailbox in 1999, and I went on AOL with that, and I got tablets out of Canada, I think, or probably Iowa or something, but they had endometriosis tablets that I was able to take that had, they allowed me to become a female in 3 months.
Wow.
So are you still on those pills?
I had a 6 month supply. But then my AOL. Yeah, well, my AOL hours ran out on that disk, and I was waiting by the mailbox like every day, like fucking deliver another one. I need to go back online. And I'd go on to dial up. My mom would be like, you know, get the fuck off. Your aunt's calling. And I said, I'm on the World Wide Web. And she's like, I don't give a fuck, your aunt's calling. And but so I couldn't order more. But the 6 month supply made me a bull dyke at that time. I don't think that's drug. How do you say that?
Derogatory.
Yeah, I don't think that's derogatory. I think it's I self-identify and
self-identify. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I felt like that stigma when I stayed home with a penis that I like I was the guy, you know, get a job, your wife waits tables and you know, and all everything. That happened back then.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? That's pretty amazing. You know what? Oh, holy shit. We are way into the archives here, and you know, we got a whole bunch of people here on what else do we want to talk about? I mean, there's a lot of other things we can talk about besides feminism. Apparently we don't all agree on what feminist or feminism means, but maybe we can all, like, debate something else or have fun talking about something else. Anyone have a suggestion? Anyone?
Any of you guys, do you ever drink? I keep getting UTIs, and I heard that
UTIs,
I heard that
huh?
Cranberry juice was, like, really good to drink, but
It is.
Because I don't.
Make sure it doesn't have any sugar in it.
Oh, you can't have sugar on it?
No sugar.
Oh. Because I bought those craisins, and I've been eating them.
Well, I'll be damned. I'll be damned.
But
I
want to
avoid a UTI. I mean,
earlier,
I always thought it was cranberry sauce myself. No,
I heard
cranberry
guy
juice, actually.
From New Zealand, he called, I'm sorry, but he called in and he said the N-word, and I kind of felt like coming through the phone line if I could, and like, you know.
Yeah? You didn't like that, did you?
No, I don't. I don't like that word, ma'am, because I'll tell you right now. You know, man, it's like you know what you're doing when you use a word like that, you know, and
oh yeah,
you can't. It's got a violence. That word has a violence with it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. Please,
there's a certain level of violence behind the N word, I believe, and I just feel I sense violence when I hear that word, man, and I don't like to hear it because I associate it with violence, man, and I don't associate it with violence, but
what about feminism? I mean, what about, you know, what about just, what about Caucasian guy?
What Caucasian?
You, feel, you don't like Caucasian?
It's Caucasian, man.
There's this film from 1969 called The Honeymoon Killers.
Right.
And there's this Negroid man in that film that I don't know if that's an offensive term, but there's three people in the film. There's a Negroid man, there's a Mongoloid gal,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a Caucasoid gal.
And, yeah.
I don't know.
Were you here for any of that? Were you in the room for any of that?
I don't know if
me?
Those are.
Yes.
Yeah,
she
were you?
Coccidiosis.
No.
Just wondering. Coccidiosis.
Yeah, that was. It was at that point that they started putting pizza in my hair.
All right. Well, somebody's, freaking out here. So we should not, talk anymore about that wonderful film. Yeah, beyond feminism, what about, you know, all right, we got a lot of people here online still, you know, and, let's have some, you know, we're getting to, you know, the cutoff point, and, we should, kind of wrap things up and talk to people about, you know, feminism or racism or, you know, any of the other subjects we have talked about tonight and see what people, you know, if they want to chat out and talk about it or, you know, Rainbow Asylum coming up tomorrow night, the next episode of the Rainbow Asylum. I know it's coming up here and, you know.
And you all better damn well tune in.
Tag us, man. Tag us.
Well, gee, Mr. Host, I don't know what the Rainbow Asylum is. Could you inform me?
Okay. Well, here we go. Here we go. Let them know what the Rainbow Asylum is all about and just shout it out again.
I will, golden-throated sir. the Rainbow Asylum.
I don't know
which Asylum
one you were
is,
talking to. Could have been either one of us.
Well, honestly, that would be you. I mean, I know you apparently like Brian's voice. To me, Brian's voice is comparable to having a, metal file rubbed against your nutsack, but that's just me.
It's not that good.
Ouch. So anyhow, yeah, come on. Let us know,
right.
Mr. Walter Beck. Come on.
Anyway, the Rainbow Asylum is another show that I co-host. I co-host it with a gentleman by the name of Mike Shipley, and it's a weekly show. Normally, we broadcast it on Saturday. Tomorrow night will be our last Saturday show, and then we're going to be broadcasting on Sunday. It's an hour-long show. It's a live call-in show, similar to this one, although while this show is more traditionally guest-based and more, I guess, arts and culture-based would be the best way to put it. The Rainbow Asylum is more humor-based. You know, it's a comedy show.
I hate comedy, man.
Well, I don't believe I was speaking to you.
Oh.
And another note, I think... my special co-host, Mr. Michael Gosinski, needs to make a special announcement about Regardless of Authority here before we depart.
What's so special about it? It came out on time.
It came out on time, yeah.
Yes,
unlike
second, yeah.
My copy, I know. Okay, guilty.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, seriously,
it's,
man.
The new issue,
seriously.
The new issue's live. Go ahead.
No, seriously, go ahead.
New issue's live. It's the third issue, issue number three. It's got a lot of good writers, William Taylor Jr., you know, Eric Smith, I go on and on. Cassandra Dallas, pretty awesome, regardless of authority.wordpress.com. So,
it is. It's
submissions,
great.
Submissions are open, you know. I'm getting some really good submissions for the next issue, so
I have no doubt about it, man. This latest issue of Regardless of Authority number 3 was pretty damn phenomenal. Honestly, it really was.
dude. You and Alethea are doing a great job. And
but it's all the contributors, man. It's the people who send the art. It's the people who send the poetry. That's what makes the issue, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, the artwork, the photography and everything that you guys get, I mean, yeah. Between you and Alethea, just wow. It's staggering, man. It's really good. I really like it a lot. It's awesome. I have seen it grown from, like, issue 1 to issue 3. I mean, quickly. I mean, just wow. Yeah. You guys are doing a great job. And
you try.
And is there ever going to be another Zygote?
On here.
Pardon me?
Is Ryan still Zygote on
will
here?
Be out. Yeah, it's a month late. And yes, I apologize. I am a slacker motherfucker. But no, yeah. No, it's going to come out soon. I promise you guys. It will, and I have some, like, print issues coming out here real soon, too.
Print.
So.
Is Ryan Spellman on here?
Always awesome.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Yes?
Yes.
Is that you?
What didn't I do this time?
No, I'm picking you up at the airport.
You're picking up at the airport. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably pick you up at the airport.
Okay.
Who's picking who up at the airport?
I'm picking
sure
up.
As hell,
as
I'm not like the Dayton airport. Dayton, Ohio airport, because, you know, I'm not ready for that. I'm too inebriated for a Dayton airport.
I'm picking you up at the airport.
No, you're picking me up at the airport.
No, Ryan Snellman. So put that on your black book.
Okay, I'll put that in my little black book, you know, for that day in January when we all get there.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick you up at the airport.
I'm just gonna lay it out there to all of you. I don't fly. I take the train. I have taken the train to many goddamn poetry readings and all that good shit. And you know what? I guess, you know, this has been a great show, and I guess this is a good time to just kind of let it go. this has been, I swear to God, this has been so much fun. And we could probably go on for another, like, 2 hours, I swear to God, all of us. It's been great, and I appreciate all the people who have called in and who have, debated all the stuff and who have, like, contributed. But, you know, yeah, at this point, I guess we just need to, we're almost at the cutoff point as far as the after show.
the overtime.
You to a poetry reading, then. Damn it.
Poetry. I'm some sort of, like, weird, creepy poetry guy. And you know what? God damn. Let's just give... let's just give special...
Oh, go ahead, do it.
No, yeah. Lando Calrissian guy. In his fucking sexy voice, you know. As far as it, yeah, this isn't the first time I've heard
him. We must give
him
the last word.
He's just, yeah. And for him to chime in and be a part of the show, it's pretty special. When you have Lando Calrissian, a.k.a. like pseudo, you know, fucking Billy D. Williams on, wow. Yeah, and sort of like, you know, Darth Vader voice. I mean, beautiful. I'm so glad he came on. And, you know, this has been a great show. It really has, and I have to give mutual credit to all my co-hosts and all that, you know, Mr. Kaczynski and Quinn and, know, Michelle McDonald, who helped us out with the show, and everybody else. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Fun show. Fun show. And
right.
A lot of the other, like, creepy people whom I'm not going to name, but they know who they are. So, yeah, we're going to, like, I think we're gonna chime out here and... Oh my gosh, you know, Julie, I know you're there. Julie,
I'm here.
Oh my god, yes, thank you.
That's
so
okay,
much
Brian,
for being a part of this. And
Julie,
you've been great.
Herself, Julie, I love her voice.
Julie, you've been great.
Lovely voice, man.
Oh, she
Brian.
Does have a lovely voice, and she is great.
This is fun, guys.
It's poetry, my dear. When, I think he doesn't. I'm going to read something droll or something, but I promise you will like it.
I'll be dreaming about that voice tonight.
Oh, God. Is that not the hottest fucking voice? Come on, Julie. Right?
It's like borderline. It can be really sexy, and it can almost be frightening at the same time.
I agree. You know, I've gotten off to it a couple times before in the past, but...
Yeah, Brian.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy.
See? It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Right.
Yes.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
I will talk with you guys soon.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we close it out, since this is the last show, I'll be able to chime in with you guys on a Friday night. I just wanted to say it's been a blast co-hosting with y'all.
It has been, buddy. And you know what? We will be seeing you in other, like, nights here coming up, okay?
Well, hopefully.
Thank you so much, Walter. Thank you, Walter.
Hi, Walter.
It's been fun, buddy.
All the old familiar places, even though we're different races. Oh, sorry.
No, please, do continue.
Oh, wow.
When I quit in the lonesome latter years, an angel song.
You just got to stop it, man.
Sit at the sea and play the hopes and fears while the orchestra breathes fitfully the music of the spheres. And mind the form of on high, not to another though.
Okay, there he goes again.
Puppets, they come.
You just got to stop with your sexy, your James Earl Jones, like Darth Vader goddamn voice. Wow. Yeah, it's been a fun and great show, and I appreciate, you know, Julie and my co-host, Gosinski, and Michelle Quinn, everybody being on, you know. I think we're just going to, like, cut it off at this point and move forward. And you know what? Hey, you know what? Another one coming up next Friday. Actually, even before next Friday, we have several shows coming up. From now on, Nothing to Lose is going to be on more than just once a week. So, yeah. At this point, I'm just going to, like, take us all out with a little bit of Butthole Surfers. Here we go. Whatever, by Butthole Surfers. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace. I hate the word. And I hate hell. Oh, my goodness.
I had a dream last night, 'cause it looked like a dream. I had a dream last night, but it looked like a dream. Mercy, mercy, I made a call. Make me a sense so I can get it off. Heaven help me, my head's spinning round. Stop this airplane, 'cause I got to get out.